You know, Brittany, nothing gives me naked confidence like hitting the gym first thing in the morning. The rush, the endorphins, it just sets the tone for the entire day.
Ooh, I like that. Naked confidence.
Yeah.
It's all about the perfect playlist for me. The right music can uplift my mood instantly.
You know what a close second is for me?
What's that?
Not stinking. That's why I use Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. It's like a secret weapon against odor, powered by mandelic acid.
Yeah, you're odor-free for up to 72 hours. I love how Lumi tackles every odor concern with natural ingredients, and I appreciate its versatility. I've tried it everywhere, from pits to feet. It never disappoints. Plus, it's baking soda-free and pH balanced for safe use.
And the fact that it's clinically proven to block odor all day, well, that's a game changer.
Definitely. And with Lumi Starter Pack, new customers can get $5 off with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com. It's a great deal for a fresh start.
Don't miss out on feeling confident everywhere you go. Visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code TLC for a special discount.
That's LumiDeodorant.com. Cheers to confidence with Lumi.
Death is a really hard thing to deal with because it's so final. But then you see these things and you get these experiences. It's like, well, it's not necessarily final. Like, there's no way that that happened without him here. And it's always comforting to know that the person that you love and you care for spiritually, I believe, is still here, right? They're still part of your life.
You're listening to the Laughing Couple podcast with your hosts, Brittany and Ryan Ostafy. Join them weekly as they discuss topics such as relationships, kids, sex, parenting, all unfiltered and all with a healthy dose of laughter. Please welcome your hosts, Brittany and Ryan Ostafy.
Guess who's back? Brittany's back.
It's so crappy out today, but I wanted to tell you a joke.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so what did one hat say to the other hat?
Top of the morning to you.
Oh, wait, here. You go on ahead.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah, that's a good one. You go on ahead.
I thought that was funny. Okay,
I hate about... You know what I hate about dad jokes?
What?
They're so obvious.
They're so good. And then you wouldn't think
of it. Someone asks you.
Like, you know.
Nobody really... When they say, what does one hat say to the other? They don't really want you
top
to
of the
answer.
Morning to
they
you.
Don't really want you to answer, but you feel obligated to answer. And then you think of all of the possible outcomes it could be. Yeah. And you come up with like top of the morning to you like that. I went through like seven different scenarios in my head.
Yeah.
And then when you said that, I'm like, of course that's the answer.
What is
of course that's the answer. Why did my brain not just think that's the answer? Ooh. Like when you said today, how many times does an octopus want to be tickled? The answer is tentacles.
Tentacles.
What
did
I'm like, eight? Like eight?
Yeah.
I'm like, great obviously. Joke. Funny what, joke, Brittany.
What eight. Did what did the pirate say on his 80th birthday? I'm matey.
Yeah, here I was thinking like, pass me the soup. Like, what? Obviously it's not that, Ryan, you idiot. Fuck. I am stupid. Like, what the hell? Pass me the soup. Arr, I got no teeth.
Oh, okay, let's get into
anyways,
it.
Let's get, yeah, into, let's get it. Into this podcast, right, shall back. We? Shall we go for it?
Oh, my God. Pass me the soup.
Pass me the soup, damn it.
That's funny.
Arr, matey. I knew that joke. I already heard that joke before. Hey, why did I not know that? And then
you went with
here's
pass
the other
me
thing.
The soup.
Here's the other thing about that joke. Fine. If I answered... I'm 80.
I would be so annoyed.
You'd be pissed.
Well, you don't. You just pretend you don't know. Anybody who actually answers a joke.
Headphones there, Jake? You want those headphones?
That's supposed to be like a cute joke is an asshole. Like a literal asshole. Like just pretend you don't know, man.
Yeah. So you remember when we were in Florida and your dad was telling those jokes and I was super tired?
Yes.
And I was laughing at every one of those jokes as if I was high. And your parents thought I was high.
Yes.
That was a good day.
I'm like, is there more to this story?
That was a good day. That was a good day. It's like that Chris Farley skit in Saturday Night Live where he's talking to the musicians.
Oh, okay.
When he's talking to the musicians.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, Sir Paul McCartney, do you remember when you were in the... when you were in that band, the Beatles, and Paul McCartney's like, obviously in his voice.
Yeah, I remember being the Beatles.
And he's like, yeah, man, that was good. That was good. You remember that song that you sang, like, hey, Jude? And he's like, yeah, I remember that song too. He's like, yeah, man, like, that was a good song.
That's it.
That was a whole skit. Oh, it was just him being a sweaty interviewer, not really knowing how to interview. Mm. That's how I feel sometimes on this podcast with you.
Oh.
Sweaty?
Really?
Not good at this thing?
No, it's because sometimes when I say a joke, you just re-say it sometimes and try to make it better. And I'm like, yeah. I just said that. Why are peppers the best at archery?
What kind of peppers? I don't know.
Because they have an arrow.
You see, that would have helped. They have an arrow? They have an arrow. That makes way more sense. They have an arrow. If you say it like that, it's like...
Because they have an arrow.
But if you say it like a little bit like a... But because they have an arrow.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Antonio Banderas. The truth. Because they have an arrow.
Okay.
There's a meme of that. It's like...
I'm Antonio Banderas.
It's got a guy in a... What are those hats called?
Sombrero.
Sombrero. It's always like, if you read this as if you're speaking...
Sombrero.
It's like a Mexican word of the day. Mm. And then you read it like it's not. And then they put it in a sentence and they put it in. And your mind automatically starts speaking like that.
Really?
And it's hilarious. You've never seen this?
No.
Mexican word of the day?
No. I haven't. I'll have to look it up. But it's
this
like
would have been one of them.
It's like when Giada, I used to watch this cooking show with Giada, and she was just like American, but she was also Italian. And so she would just be like straight talking, and then she'd be like, and now we are going to get the bruschetta. And like she would just like fully change her accent, or like, yeah, like bruschetta. And like she wouldn't be talking like that for all of it. And then she'd be like the Parmesan Reggiano. But then she would just go back to like regular speaking. It was like a thing that everyone noted.
I like it. I used to watch this TV show on, I don't know, channel 13 or channel 12.
That was Guide.
Whatever one wasn't the guide.
It was Guide.
Whatever one wasn't the guide. The 12 or the 13. 12. And they would do like Eye on India on Sunday. And then you'd watch all these music videos from the Indian community. And then it was like, right after that, it was like, now Eye on Israel. And then it would be like music videos from all over the world. But this girl was Portuguese. And same thing. Mm. She would speak. And I always loved it because I was a kid and I was stupid. But I always loved listening to people speak a different language and then use an English word. Mm. Like out of nowhere.
Yes.
Super Bowl.
That was like when Tim from Cupley just all of a sudden did his Canadian accent. It really threw us off.
Yeah, it's you don't see it coming.
No, it's great.
Especially considering you don't know what they're saying. And you really don't see it coming. Anyways, can we start this podcast?
I think we've already started.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it is heavy, but I think it's an important conversation because everyone experiences it, unfortunately.
We have a heavy conversation. Death. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's one way to start this podcast. Today we're talking about death.
No, it's because Ryan's friend, we've talked about Clev multiple times on the podcast, but it was the anniversary of his passing last week.
Yeah, recently.
13 years. 13.
13 years. And you know, the crazy thing about losing a friend that early. So Dave was 26 when he passed away. And I look at my life, you know, have you ever been in a relationship with a boy? I know you have, I haven't, but you ever been in a relationship where like 6 months felt like 5 years?
Have I ever?
Right. When I look at my,
not in a good
when
way.
I look at my relationship,
this one
with,
right now.
Yeah. Well, that's because it's been since 2000. It's
it
been
actually has
long.
Been 13 years.
13 years, yeah. When I look at my relationship with Clev, such an impactful relationship. But it was, when I actually like dissect it, it was after high school. So I would have been 20 and he passed when he was 26. Like that 6 years of my relationship with Clev felt like my entire life.
Yeah.
And I now look and it's been 13 years since he's been passed. Meaning he's been gone
longer
twice as long as I ever knew him.
And I think, like, because when you have high school relationships, like, most people are friends with maybe a few people from high school, if you're lucky. But most of your friendships are formed after high school, whether that's post-secondary, whether that's when you're working or whatever. And definitely now that you've got kids, you hang out with parents. But that little moment of time in your 20s when you're, like, doing all the things, you're going out, you're seeing the world, whatever, those years really do feel like forever. Because you just soak it all in.
They're probably the most impactful. They're probably the most impactful years of your life. It's because for the first time in your life, you're not restricted to what your parents say. Yeah. Then you're not restricted to what the school system says. This is when you really get to stretch, find your individualism, find your tribe, so to speak, and really go out to the universe and say, like, hey, I'm willing to try this and do this and experience these things. And then when you have that one friend or that core group of friends that are all part of that, those are the things that now as a 40-year-old, you know, you sit down, you have a couple of drinks, and those are the things you're always talking about.
100%.
You're always talking about, you remember when we did this and you remember when you do that. And I think for me, when you lose one of those friends in that time in your life, you are never going to be that same person.
No, and I think because Dave's passing was such a fluke tragedy, like he passed when he went cliff diving, okay? So he passed when he landed. But, like, I think because there was no funeral, because we just
there's spoke, a funeral, but we never saw
it. Sorry, I wasn't finished. Sorry. There was no funeral with a body. There wasn't that sense of closure that you got, right? And because it took a while to find his body and then they had to bring it back. Like, it was just a really hard space because also it wasn't here. Like, he was in BC and you were in Ontario. So I think that there was already such a disconnect between you guys, like, distance wise, that it will never feel like you have that closure. Because I often forget sometimes, I can only imagine how you do this, but, like, I often forget that, like, he's not here. Like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, like, we'll talk. And then I'm like, okay, no, like, I get it. But I can only imagine you having moments of, like, thinking and reminiscing about that stuff. And it's just, like, a friend that you haven't seen in a really long time. Hey, Ryan.
Yes?
You stink.
Okay.
I stink too, don't worry. Everyone actually stinks, and it's normal to have body odor, just in case you needed a reminder.
Okay, thank you for that. But the best part is you don't have to stink. Just try Lumi whole body deodorant.
You're right. And Lumi's powered by mandelic acid, tackling odor for 72 hours from pits to feet, even private areas.
It's incredible. Over 300,000 five-star reviews, and you can literally use it everywhere.
And the scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or my personal favorite, toasted coconut, make it refreshing.
Plus, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com.
And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that's over 40% off.
Stay confident from head to toe with Lumi.
Try it with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com.
That's code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com. Stay fresh, everyone.
Guys, have you tried the new wellness shots from Good Vibes Juice?
We have, and they're amazing. Perfect for boosting immunity and feeling great.
Good Vibes Juice makes all natural wellness shots with ingredients that support your immune system.
And they honestly taste good. Plus, they're great to have before you feel sick or even to help you recover faster.
It's like having granny's homemade remedy, but conveniently pre-made.
They have three different shots to choose from: Sick Day, Get Well, and Turmeric Daily. The Sick Day shot has echinacea and ginger, known for fighting off colds and boosting immunity.
The Get Well shots feature elderberry, a superfood ingredient that helps increase immunity, and the Turmeric Daily has turmeric and chamomile. My personal favorite is the Turmeric Daily. It has turmeric and chamomile, which for me, having recently turned 40, is great for anti-inflammatory and calming properties.
What's great is that these shots are all natural with no preservatives or additives. You can take them as a shot or mix them with hot water for a soothing tea.
And here's the best part. Visit goodvibes with an S, juice.com and use promo code TLC to get free shipping and 20% off your first order.
That's www.goodvibesjuice.com with promo code TLC. Let's boost our immunity and feel great with Good Vibes Juice.
Yeah. You know, death is such a strange thing because it's final, but it's so impactful and it hurts so much and it happens so quickly. And then the world just moves on.
Yeah.
But your world doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, well,
it does,
the world moves on. And I remember when I did one of the eulogies at Dave's funeral, I remember looking, and when you pass away at 26, you can imagine that all of your friends are still here and they're still probably all living in the community and their parents are still here. And then your grandparents are like, your network at 26 is huge. It's massive. And I remember being in the church and looking at like thousands of people packed in, standing room only for his funeral. And everyone was crushed and hurt. And I just remember coming in and seeing cars pass us.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the cars thinking, why are they just driving?
Right.
Where
because are they this going? Isn't their life.
Where are they like, where are they going? The world is like, it's over. Mm-hmm. It's not, why are they not here? And you just realize that, and this is what I said in the eulogy, we're all here and we're all hurting and we're all impacted for this because we were lucky enough to know Dave.
Right.
Because the people that are outside that are driving, that are dealing with their stresses, their worries, their concerns, their considerations, their work, all of the stuff that they're dealing with, they have no idea what we're dealing with. They're just going on their day and our lives feel like they're over because we knew Dave. Mm-hmm. Because
he made this such a big
person
impact.
Was so impactful. And we're now getting to an age right now at 40 where you're starting to see a lot of our friends lose. There was a period of time where our friends in high school were losing grandparents.
Yeah.
But we're now starting to see a lot of our friends losing parents. And this is a conversation I don't really want to dive too much into because the idea of losing my parents or the idea of you losing your parents is just a little bit too much for me to deal with on a podcast. But we're starting to see it more frequently. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Shelby the other day and she had just lost her grandmother. And I was saying like, the hurt that you feel is a direct impact of the person's value that they had in your life. And it's hard to comprehend that. It's hard to make that make sense. But the more you hurt, the more grateful you really should be that that person meant so much to you that it really truly feels like your life is over. Mm-hmm. And it will never be the same. And the thing that I struggle with the most now, 13 years later, so we live in a community and you know, about a kilometer and a half from where we live is where Dave used to live with his parents. And we partied so hard at that house. Oh my
Lots
God.
Lots of memories.
One of my favorite memories is from that house and from those parties. But I walk by every morning I do my walk. I always walk by his house and I always acknowledge him. And the other day, and it happens frequently, the other day I was walking and I was in my head about the stuff that we're dealing with, the drama that we're dealing with and the stress of what it is that we're dealing with. And I walked right by his house and I didn't acknowledge his house. Mm. And I got right around the corner and I thought, where am I? On the street. And I looked back and I saw his house and I thought,
guilt.
Fuck, I didn't even acknowledge his house. Mm-hmm. I'm in my own life so much that this man who meant so much to me, I can just walk past his house and it doesn't have that same feeling to me anymore. The problem with life is it life does go on. And I do feel guilty all the time that I get to deal with the stresses of life. I really get to deal with the stresses of life. And it sounds weird, but it's like, that's such a blessing.
It's a privilege.
It's such a privilege. Turning 40, people are like, oh, like how is it to turn 40? Really good. Mm-hmm. It's really good to turn 40. Not everyone gets to turn 40. Mm-hmm. I lost my best friend at 26. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Tonight's not guaranteed. There are people who are going to go to work today and they're not going to come back to their families. And it's like, we take for granted the stresses that we have in our lives. We just think, you know, that they matter and they do matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to diminish stress and worry and concerns and stuff along those lines, but
every once in a while, it's nice to check in
and recognize that like, Tomorrow's not a guarantee. an hour from now is not a guarantee. Right. And I think if you put yourself into that perspective and you allow yourself to just be in that, like, don't get trapped in that. That's like, that can be, I'd never leave my house if that was the case. But just to check in and recognize how lucky we all are. And that's what I said in the eulogy. It's like, I now feel like, as bad as it is that Dave's gone, I'm still here. Meaning I still have the opportunity. He no longer has the opportunity to achieve the greatness that he would have achieved in his life. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like this moral obligation now to be the best version of me that I can possibly be. Because when Dave passed, he was in BC, but I was in Alberta. Mm-hmm. He was diving from a cliff and I was skiing down the side of a mountain. And I got a phone call that could easily have been the phone call that he got. Mm-hmm. That changed my life. It could easily have changed his life. And here he could be sitting on a podcast talking to his wife about Ryan Ostafi. And 13 years later, I miss this guy and I want this guy in my life and I can't have this guy in my life. And maybe he's walking by 11 Shadeland Court thinking, oh shit, I just walked right past Ostafi's house.
Yeah.
Right. We used to swim in that pool. But anyways, death is a really hard thing to deal with because it's so final. But then you see these things and you get these experiences. It's like, well, it's not necessarily final. Like, there's no way that that happened without him here. And it's always comforting to know that the person that you love and you care for spiritually, I believe, is still here, right? They're still part of your signs. Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to add. I'm just listening.
Yeah. Anyways, it's tough. And we don't talk about it on this podcast, but... we haven't talked about this on this podcast. We did have a conversation with Stephen Lee Olson when he wrote the song. That was the first time that we ever really had this. But I always, like, with his passing, I said, you know, there are a lot of people right now that are dealing with the impact of the passing. And the one thing I would say to anybody, if I could, because having dealt with it, maybe it's a man thing. We tend to bury these emotions. I was just at a funeral and I was looking at the family. They're so strong and they're so supportive and they're thanking people for coming. And you could just see the smile and all this stuff. And I think, I really hope when this day is over that they really sit in their emotions. Like, they allow themselves to feel their emotions, because I've made the mistake so many times of just trying to put on this face that everything's okay and that I'm okay. Because I need to do that. I need, especially with Dave, I needed to do that for his family. I needed to do that for my friends. I needed to do that for his sisters. I needed to be somebody that was like, I'm here for you if you need anything. And I feel like the biggest thing that I can say is, because I never allowed people to be that for me in that space, I feel like, you know, 13 years later, I'll be driving and I'll see something and I'll be like, fuck, Dave and I would have done this, or Dave and I should have done this, or I'll be at my parents' place and I'm like, we're all laughing, we're all joking, we're sitting by the campfire and I look at a chair and I think to myself, there's no way Dave wouldn't be in that chair if Dave was here. And then I got to go and cry. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to leave I got to cry, because I don't want to be the guy that's like, why are you crying, man? Well, 13 years ago, I lost my best friend.
Yeah, but no one's going to say that to you.
No, like, I know.
No one that you're hanging out with is going to say that to you.
I just really feel like I never dealt with it the way that I could have dealt with it. I never saw anyone about it. And when I really think of it now as a 40-year-old man who still physically deals with the impact of losing, you know, your best friend, it's like, I should have seen someone for this.
Yeah, but I don't think you can put a timeline. Like, I think you still can. You know, like, we have a friend who, it was recently her mom's year of passing. It's been a year. And she has had a really tough year for obvious reasons. But she is a very strong individual and she just keeps on going and is really, like, compounding her grief because she doesn't want to break down in other parts of her life. And it's physically affecting her. She's physically affected by it because this grief and this pain and this stress is turning into physical pain. And I had met with her last month and I was just like, you gotta let it out. And I think people with grief, especially, it's hard not to, like, look at the movies and look at these unrealistic timelines. Like, grief isn't linear. You're going to deal with grief in waves and it's going to come out differently. And we've read this a million times, like, everyone experiences it differently. And I think we all just need to adapt the fact that there isn't a way to deal with grief. You'll just deal with it. However that looks like, sometimes it's going to be successful. Sometimes it's going to be really painful. And like, that's okay.
Yeah. And I think we as a society can do a better job of recognizing grief in others mm-hmm. and accepting that that's how they do it. And it's weird. You think about it 13 years later, people would be like, man, get over it.
No, right? no one would say that.
Well, you would think, you would hope no one would say it to your face.
No, but I don't think it's like.
You can guarantee people are like, wow, like it's been 13 years, man. Like, like life has gone on, move on. But I haven't. Mm-hmm. I haven't. I tell you right now, as a 40-year-old man, I am not over the passing of Dave. Mm-hmm. It impacts me every single day. I deal with it every single day because he was my guy. He was my brother. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are you supposed to get over that?
I don't think you're supposed to get over it. Like, I think that when you say, like, I'm not over it, I don't think you'll ever get over it. I think it just gets easier to think about.
And then the guilty side is you walk past his house and you don't think of it and you think, oh, I am over it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why am I over it? I should never be over
but
it.
But I think the language needs to change. Like, I don't think you need to think, I think you're beating yourself up in the sense of you saying like, oh, people think that I need to get over it. Or even you saying like, you're going to have to get over it. It's been 13 years. No, like, let's change the language. Don't say like, let's get over it. Like, you can live your life daily and have moments of like, you're not thinking about him and you will all, and that doesn't mean that you'll never remember him. You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to not think of him, but you're allowed to live your life without constantly thinking of this person. It's physically impossible for you to do that. And how is that helpful for everybody who's left here for you? I sent you that song a couple weeks or last week or whatever, Sleep Deprivation. It's such a good song. And there's a line in the song that says something like I'm lost and ambitious. Like, it's his first year where he's lost and ambitious at the same time, which I really feel like resonated so much with you when I look at you, because I think that you have this feeling that you're lost over here because you don't know how to deal with this, but you also are so ambitious in every other aspect of your life. And it's like, how do you have this and this and make both of them make sense at the same time?
And not feel guilty for being one or the other. Right. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. It's like, I now believe you honor the person who's passed by being the best version of you. Mm-hmm. By saying, hey, listen, I am still here. I still have the opportunity to make an impact on my life and on other people's lives. And I can, and I'm allowed to do that. And I'm free to do that and not feel this guilt or this burden. And I don't know the answer to it, but what I do know is if I could do it all over again, I would have not pretended like it didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. And I would have gone to somebody.
Yeah.
And I would have, and I'm not saying, and I'm not suggesting that that would have helped. I don't know. I could still be here 13 years later, still dealing with the same stuff, but I feel like I could have got stuff off my chest that is still on my chest. Like, I can feel it when I'm driving. More often than not, it's when I'm driving, when I'm by myself and mm-hmm. I look over at my empty seat. It's like, holy shit, I'm not ready for this. Mm-hmm. Driving in my car and guys beside me and I'm sitting here in tears. And the guy's like, oh, what the hell happened to that guy? Well, 13 years ago, you know what I mean? That's the one thing I would say. It's like, everyone does deal with grief differently. It does impact people differently. But you really have to be in your feelings. You really have to be in your emotions. And if you don't give yourself the opportunity to feel what you're actually feeling, it never goes away.
Yeah.
It just never goes away.
Shout out to Claritin for providing samples and sponsoring this episode. Full disclosure, I was listening to you talk the other day and I was thinking to myself, why does he sound that way? And then I remembered that it's allergy season and that's just your voice because you're so stuffed up.
Ah, yes, the old allergy congested accent. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes.
Oh, perfect. So I won't have to listen to you speak like this for the next few weeks.
What? You're not into it? It's not not endearing?
No comment. Designed for serious allergy sufferers like Ryan.
Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better.
Claritin D tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies.
Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away.
So convenient. Just ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear.
And remember, only use as directed. Love everything. I love that you were vulnerable about that. I don't know how this is going to segue, but it's maybe just more about like living into your life and for the people who are still here. Because you had a conversation with Coop, right? You were talking about Coop.
Well, I just, you know, we talked about this probably earlier in the year. We made the joke about, when was the last time, like you hugged your dad, right? Mm-hmm. And really like have a real hug. Like I always have a manly hug with my dad. Well, but the joke was, when was the last time I called my dad daddy, right? Yeah. And so like with Clev's passing, this was the segue with Clev's passing, you start to recognize that certain things that you take for granted, you got to stop taking for granted for them. And then with Cooper, that first year was really tough. The first 3 years was really tough for me because it was Cooper's first year. Obviously he's on the boob, and for a man, for a husband, and father, I think we'll all understand that we really are kind of useless in the early stages of our child's lives. We're there, we're supportive, we're a voice, we're a smile. You know, we're a support system, but ultimately at the end of the day, the child doesn't necessarily need us as much as they need their mother. And I know there's a lot of people who would be like, don't paint that with the brush, but if you look at how we are physically built, I cannot produce milk from my breast.
Yeah, but that is a brush that you got to be careful with painting, because not every woman can breastfeed.
And I understand that too. But what I'm getting at, let's put it this way. In our lives specifically, the maternity leave was you. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there Monday to Friday. I was there on the weekends and I was there after work. And so the connection, the bond, all of those things. And Cooper is naturally a mama's boy. Mm-hmm. I felt, and then on the other side, because we had Riley, who was 4 years older, I really had to be with Riley.
Yeah.
So that Riley didn't feel like, hey, my whole world just changed. I was four. Right. I had my mom and my dad, and now there's this kid and he's taking all of mom's time. Right. And so Riley and I built this really strong bond in that first year of Coop. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, it threw everything a loop. The kids were here. They were with you. You were doing these creative, crafty things, and thank God they had you. But I really, for the first 3 years of Cooper, didn't really know him. Like I felt like I didn't know him. And so when we start talking about like things that fleet and things that go away, I've started to realize, and my mom always has this saying, and by the way, mom, if you're listening to this, I hate this saying. This is my least favorite saying of all of your sayings. My mom says, you know, a daughter is a daughter for the rest of her life. A son is a son until he takes a wife. I fucking hate that saying.
But you're like, just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's true. I'm like,
just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's true, mom. But there is some truth to it. And what I mean by that from a father, not from a mother's perspective, is I'm now taking stock and inventory. And every time I cross the street and Cooper reaches up and grabs my hand, I recognize that there will be a time in my life where my son won't hold my hand anymore. Because it's just not the cool thing to do. He'll always hold your hand. I sit down beside my granny and I put my hand on her hand and we hold hands. And I sit beside my mom and I put my hand on her hand and I embrace my mom. And like, I'm here, I'm beside you, I love you.
But unless something tragic has happened, you wouldn't have that same affection to your dad.
When I hold my dad's hand, it's because my hand's up here on the couch and his hand's up there on the couch and they touch hands and we look at each other and we laugh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And my dad, sometimes if he's being my dad, he'll like caress my hand, the top of my hand with it. He'll caress the top of my hand with my hand and we laugh. We joke about it.
Yeah.
What was the last day I reached for my dad's hand for protection? Mm-hmm. When was the last day I held my dad's hand?
You never know when it's the last time.
And you don't know. And I remember there's someone said, you never know the last time you pick up your kid. But when it comes to a daughter, I don't know what it is, but when it comes to a daughter, you never know when the last time is, because tomorrow could be the next time. Mm-hmm. Right? Like maybe I'll never pick up Riley again, but one day I'll be like, you know, it's been a long time since I picked you up, and I'll pick her up. She could be a 30-year-old woman. I'm like, you know what? It's been a long time since I picked you up and I can pick you up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that with my son.
Yeah.
And so I recognize now Cooper's going to be six in a couple of weeks. The time that I have left where he looks at me and feels like it's socially acceptable and okay to hold my hand, mm-hmm. or socially acceptable and okay to hug me and to cuddle with me, I have less time than I've had. Mm-hmm. So at six, I don't have six more years of Coop doing that. And my relationship with Coop as a father, as a man, it's going to change. And so I am so hyper focused on spending this time with him and having so much cuddles, because you get those cuddles for the rest of your life. Mm. I don't. And it sucks that I don't. And so this is a call to action for fathers that are out there, fathers who have sons. It's so easy to get wrapped up in their sports. It's so easy to get wrapped up in these things, but just recognize that your time as that guy for them, there's not a lot left. There just really isn't a lot left, and it sucks.
I was reading, I don't even know, I was trying to find an old post, and I had come across one of these things I posted 2 years ago, and or maybe it was last, no, 2 years ago. And it was like a quote that said, if you're ever having a hard day with your kids, just think about you coming back from the future and you get to spend one more day with them, and this is the day. Like, your immediate emotions change. Like, I mean, kids can be dicks. You can have hard days as a parent. This isn't to say like you're not allowed to have those rough times, and you absolutely are allowed to have the breakdowns. But if you're ever just finding yourself like really snapping on them or whatever, your patience is short, take a moment and be like, okay, say that future me gets to come back to this day and see them again when they're this little. Your whole outlook and your whole perspective changes. It's so wild. I did that last night because I was going to go. I was so tired. You had a headache.
I had a migraine. Then, let's be clear. I was almost throw up.
Yeah. So you were at a commission and I was like, I'm going to go. We both laid with them. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go. And then sang a little sleep song and they fell asleep.
I heard really you sing. I fell asleep to you singing. It was nice.
Yeah. It was funny. You started snoring.
Yeah. It was very peaceful. I was like, that's not. You know, it's hard being a parent. You have these back and forth dialogues all the time. And you know, when you first have a parent or you first become a parent, everyone says to you, you know, time moves fast, time is fleeting. Love these times when your kid's yelling in freaking Walmart.
No one wants to hear it.
Just remember, there's a time that this isn't going to happen.
But we are going to be those people eventually.
And you're like, yeah, I get it, but I'm in the moment right now and this fucking sucks.
Don't invalidate my emotions right now.
You remember when Riley said that yesterday? I thought that was so powerful.
What'd she say?
When Riley was talking about it and she said someone made fun of her leg hair. And you're like, well, she didn't mean it to be mean. And Riley says to you, I know she didn't mean it to be mean, but it's okay for me to still feel hurt by it.
Yeah. We were like, good for you.
Good for you, Riley. Yeah. Why are you smarter than the two of us?
Well, we gave her these tools.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's definitely an us thing. It's definitely an us thing. But anyways, it's one of those things where it's tough being a parent. I want to acknowledge it's tough being a parent. And it's way easier to look back and look at it and say, oh, I wish I would have done this. But you can do that if you put the mindset that you have. Put yourself in the future you. Put yourself as a 60-year-old, 70-year-old and think to yourself, if you could go back in one time, we talk about this all the time here in this house. If you give me at 80 years of age, the moment in time that I would go back to,
right,
it's probably right now. Mm-hmm. It's probably right now. When I can't hold Cooper's hand anymore, I won't go back to that time. Those times are going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to love
reasons.
Those times. I'm going to absolutely adore those times when he's doing his thing and we're cheerleading and cheering for him and we're his support system and he's playing with his friends and he's got this independence. I'm going to love that time mm-hmm. in my life. But if I could go back to one moment, it's never not going to be when he's holding my hand.
Well, there are two things that he said recently. One, I think it was last month, I pointed to an excavator when we were driving because he used to be obsessed with excavators. And I was like, "Ooh, look at that excavator. It was massive." And he said, "Mom, I'm not really into like excavators and diggers anymore." And I was like, "Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, me neither." And then I started crying. And then today, it's raining out. And so Riley took her umbrella and I'm like, you can have your umbrella. And he's like, Mom, I'm like, what? And he's like, do we have any other umbrellas? I'm like, no, you broke your other one. Like, this is a brand new umbrella. And he's like, I don't like it. I'm like, there's a shark on it. He's like, Mom, it's baby shark. I don't want to take a baby shark to school. And I was like, but you are a baby. Like, and he used to love baby shark. But like, I think this as a parent, you just have these moments of like, there's going to be a time where he already transitioned out of toddler area in the store to now boys. Not ready for that shit.
Like, it happens fast.
Fucking boys.
It, you know what? It happens fast, but it doesn't happen fast.
No, really doesn't.
And then like I saw, so we can talk about this in the next podcast because I don't think there's enough time, but mm-mm. Riley just had her cheerleading competition and the nationals in Niagara. And one of the mothers had posted a video about how amazing the weekend was. And they did all these highlights. And then I deep dove and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. You were on Riley's team last year. I forgot that they were, cause we didn't make friends with them the year before. Right. Yeah. And so I started deep diving and I went to the cheer video from the year before. And because Riley wasn't like super close with this girl last year, but she is this year. I'm like, oh my God, that's Riley. Mm-hmm. And she looked like a baby.
I know.
It was a year ago and she looked like crazy. A baby, but Riley to me has always been Riley.
I know.
There's never been a version of Riley that's never been Riley until I look back at the old version of Riley and I thought, that was you?
So bizarre.
And it's crazy to me and and that's where it starts to happen really fast. My 30s didn't go really fast. They were really hard. They took a lot out of me. I've lost hair. I've gained weight. I've stressed. It took really a dark. Lot. It took a lot out of me. But it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
When you look back on it.
I literally just remembered you're no longer in your
30s. I'm not in my 30s anymore.
I was like, why are you talking like you're not still in your 30s? Oh.
Because I'm 40.
It's fine. Anyways.
Well, listen, this was this is not our typical podcast. This was a little bit more sentimental than we normally have.
We're not apologizing for
it. We're not apologizing for it because I know that there are people that are listening to this podcast right now that are dealing with the same stuff that we're dealing with. And I just want you to know that it's... what you're dealing with is how you're dealing with it. And it's normal. Mm-hmm. And don't let anyone tell you how you should be dealing with this. You deal with your emotions the way you deal with your emotions. Losing someone fucking sucks.
Amen.
And it never goes away.
Agreed.
Peace out. A-Town. Boop, 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 boop.
Hey everyone,
I'm Emily Beerley
and I'm Jennifer Chaikin
and we're licensed marriage and family therapists,
owners of The Therapy Group
and hosts of the Shrink Chicks podcast.
Every week we bring you a new episode where we dive into therapeutic topics like inner child work, dating anxiety, family dynamics, relationships, and burnout,
making them more relatable and understandable, leaving the psychobabble behind.
We address the things you've been dying to ask your therapist but don't know how.
And work to help you stop shooting all over yourself with the expectations society can put on us.
Tune in every Monday to Shrink Chicks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Be sure to follow along and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Prepare to learn all about you, because in order to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.